So I'm just going to mention a small cluster of the ideas that I found fascinating, inspirational, and influential. First idea is Shinjin. And this is probably the most important of Shinran's ideas because it describes the most important state or stage in the Pure Land Buddhist's life. Shinjin is often translated as faith, but it's not quite the same as faith Shraddha, I think. Better translation of Shinjin is entrusting, or true entrusting. And to understand this, you have to know something about the context in which he was speaking. So, in the larger Sukhavati Vyuha Sutra, the Bodhisattva Dharmakara vows to become enlightened and create a pure land in the western direction. And he makes a number of vows. Depending on which recension of the sutra you've got, it's usually 48. Sometimes it's 47, 46, but usually 48. And the 18th vow is considered by Pure Land Buddhists to be the most important because it's here that Dharmakara promises that if you simply think of him single-mindedly with an aspiration to be reborn in his Pure Land, you will be reborn there. This is a fairly common idea, I think, in Mahayana Buddhism. Mahayana Sutras, that by focusing your mind one-pointedly on a Buddha and perhaps his Pure Land, you'll be reborn in that Pure Land. But Dharmakara's vows, and this particular vow, goes one step further. At the end of each vow, he says that if it turns out that what he vows does not come about, may he not become a Buddha, and therefore may he not create that Pure Land. So, if it turns out that on thinking of him and saying his name, you're not reborn in his Pure Land, he won't actually become a Buddha, and therefore won't create a Pure Land. As he did become a Buddha, Amitabha, and as he did create that Pure Land, Sukhavati, then what he vowed must be true. It's a cast iron promise. So, Shinjin is a state of believing in this promise, in this vow, and entrusting oneself to it. So as I'm talking about Shinran's influence on me, I'm going to tell you how I understand this idea. I don't actually believe it as literal truth. I don't believe that the myth of Dharmakara and his making of the vows and his later on becoming Amitabha and creating the Pure Land is literally true. But I do believe it says something very important about the nature of life, really, the nature of the universe, or at least the nature of the mind. And I think that's why Pure Land Buddhism has lasted. And I think it's why it's so popular in the East. Because I think the myth expresses a very important truth. And this is what I think it's saying. I think it's telling us that although bad things do happen in the world, and that these bad things can happen to any one of us, in a spiritual sense, we're going to be okay. In terms of the five niyamas, I'm not going to go into the five niyamas, I'm just hoping you know what I'm talking about. On the level of the karma niyama and dharma niyamas, everything is going to turn out fine. On the level of the other niyamas, it may not. But on the level of the karma and dharma niyamas, we'll be okay as long as we have faith. It's a bit like the famous quote from St. Julian of Norwich, all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. So it's very, very optimistic, you could say. Born from despair, but very optimistic. Probably most Buddhists who know about the five niyamas anyway would agree that on the level of the karma and dharma niyamas, as long as you have faith, you'll be okay. But they would add, but you've got to make the effort. Faith and effort. With faith, you make effort in the spiritual life. No matter what happens to you on the physical plane, spiritually, you'll be fine. And Pure Land Buddhists would have agreed with that up until the time of Shinran, i.e. that effort was involved, although Pure Land Buddhism has always seen faith as taking precedence over effort. But when Shinran came along, he believed that the time for making an effort was gone. All you could now do was give yourself over to Amitabha, and the vows he made when he was the Bodhisattva Dharmakara.